DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I got a lot of messages on Twitter, a lot of you sort of assuming what my announcement would be or what my reaction would be to the news here about five-star wide receiver and UGA commit Jaden Hazelwood's decision to decommit from the program. And yeah, my reaction is about what you think it is. I am disappointed about this. I won't lie to you. We're going to talk about this in those terms here on the show. As if you watch Before the Hedges, if you listen to Dog Nation Daily, if you're around us on a regular basis, you know that I follow Georgia recruiting closely. And of all the 2019 commits for Georgia leading up to yesterday, the one that I was the most excited about was Jaden Hazelwood. I just really believe that Georgia needs what Hazelwood can do. What he brings to the table, I think, is something that Georgia still needs. Not that I don't have respect for the wide receivers that Georgia has, but I believe there's a threshold of achievement still attainable by the Georgia wide receiver group. And I think it's going to take a guy like Hazelwood to get there. But as of right now, Hazelwood making it official last night, decommitting from the program. If you're watching on video, I will show this to you, give you a chance to see Hazelwood in his own words here, announcing his decommitment from the University of Georgia. And obviously, we'll talk a lot about that. Hazelwood saying that he wants to thank God for the blessings and then goes on to say it was a tough decision for me. Feel it's the best decision to make at this time. Decided to decommit from the University of Georgia. Open my recruitment. Please respect my decision. Not easy choice to make. Thank you and can continue to have a blessed day. That is Jaden Hazelwood there, the five-star wide receiver. Now, obviously, the Hazelwood recruitment has been seemingly open here for a while. He's been one of those recruits that always seems to have a little extra drama attached to his name, especially in comparison to some other Georgia commits. For instance, another guy at the same position like Dominic Blaylock, for instance, there's always just seemed to be more drama around Hazelwood than some of the other guys. But what makes the decision to decommit all the worse for me, or the more disappointing as a Georgia fan, is while at one point in time it seemed likely that Hazelwood might have a wandering eye, might look somewhere else, the events of Saturday almost made it seem that Hazelwood was maybe more solid to Georgia than he had been before. It starts out with before the game against Tennessee, a game in which he did attend, it seems like he was getting the extra special VIP treatment. We talked about this yesterday on our DN90 video show of the fact that Hazelwood was, and in fact, Jeff Sintel probably does the best job of anything of sort of describing how Hazelwood was treated on Saturday, and Hazelwood seemed to like the treatment that he got. Here is Jeff Sintel saying that Georgia really rolled out the red carpet to entertain Hazelwood when he attended the Tennessee game this past Saturday. Here's Jeff Sintel from yesterday's program.
I wonder if all the fans that were there early for the pregame saw the special way Georgia went about treating the latest Jaden Hazelwood visit. Jaden was plucked out of the line, kind of enveloping the stadium, the home sideline and the home west end zone sideline of the stadium. And he was given very special attention. Cortez Hankton was there, and he brought him out to the end zone. And they were watching Georgia's receivers go through their paces. Very good sources tell me that Jaden Hazelwood felt a lot of love.
So good sources say that he felt a lot of love, but whatever love he felt at the time was not enough to get him to hold off on decommitting from the program. Making it all the more weird was the Instagram post that Hazelwood put up right after the visit to Georgia on Saturday, all smiling faces. Once again, if you're watching on video, I'll show this to you. If you're obviously listening to the program, I'll have to describe it to you. Smiling faces, arms around some of the other recruits who were on there, and the line from Hazelwood here, which rings somewhat hollow now, foundation solid as ever. Now, that's a pretty cryptic statement. It's hard to know kind of what he meant by that, but a lot of Georgia fans at the time interpreted that Instagram post as saying that his foundation with Georgia as solid as ever. But as it turns out, not so solid in that Hazelwood has decommitted from the program. And obviously, we're kind of left to speculate here about what happened to cause Hazelwood to want to decommit, where this leaves Hazelwood with his recruitment here. Is Georgia still a part of this? Luckily, speculation has never been something I've had much of a problem with. I sort of speculate for a living, so I'll do some speculation on this. Here is the one thing that has always hung over the Jaden Hazelwood discussion. The one thing we've always known, because Hazelwood, to his credit, was very explicit in telling us this. Go back to about a year or so ago when we had a Jaden Hazelwood at one of our Marlowe's broadcasts. Hazelwood at the time made no bones about the fact that he was taking his visits. He was going to officially visit other places. It's been Oklahoma in the mix. It's, I think, Auburn coming up. It's, you know, I guess, Miami coming up here as well. You know, he's always been explicit about wanting to take his official visits. And even that night, in a crowded restaurant with a bunch of Georgia fans who were applauding everything that Hazelwood said and really there to cheer him on, Hazelwood even had the guts there that night to tell the crowd, listen, you only get a chance to be a part of this one time in your life, and I'm going to do it my way. Here is Hazelwood being very candid about a year or so ago.
I'm in the process of scheduling my officials right now. Like, I'm taking my first one in April to Oklahoma, of course. I mean, but that doesn't change my opinion on Georgia. Like, I see fans commenting, like, someone told me respect the fans and we'll respect you or something like that. And I just looked at it and was like, man, y'all don't understand. You only can do it one time.
I mean, listen, I don't, as a Georgia fan, that's not what I would prefer my five-star wide receiver and commit to say, but there is a huge part of me that respects Hazelwood for being as honest and candid as he was. You may get me on your campus, but you don't get to control the way that I go about my process. I can't fault Jaden Hazelwood for feeling that way. I can't fault Jaden Hazelwood for saying that I'm going to take my visits, I'm going to do my due diligence, I'm going to make sure that the program I choose is the right program for me. Now, obviously, I got the red shirt on today. I'd prefer Hazelwood choose the University of Georgia, but I can't fault him for saying I'm going to go about this thing my way. And the fact that he was as honest as he was way back then, this was never a situation where he said, hey, Georgia, you got nothing to worry about with me. I'm rocking solid to UGA all the way. No, he always said, I'm taking visits. I'm doing so as a Georgia commit, but I'm taking these visits. Now, the only thing that's changed is they'll be taking these official visits, the ones that are still yet to come, no longer as a UGA commitment anymore. Now, when you get into, you know, Hazelwood's relationship with Georgia, what drew him to Georgia in the first place, what may be pushing him away right now, this is where things kind of get interesting. And here's where I'll be really candid. One of the things that always concerned me about Hazelwood's tie to Georgia were to once again take him at his own words, the reasons why he said that he came to Georgia. I'm going to play a couple pieces of audio for you right here. And the one name that you see come up more than once here in terms of why he's committed to Georgia, what's interesting to him about Georgia, it's Justin Fields that he mentions more than once here. Let me give you the first audio clip, once again, from an interview that Dog Nation has done with Jaden Hazelwood, where he talked about the presence of Fields being a real magnet for him to UGA. Here's Hazelwood again.
What do you think right now keeps you strongly committed to Georgia?
Just the staff. I mean, but I'm not going for a staff, to be honest, though. But I know that my boy Justin going to do right by me if I go there.
So I think that's really interesting. He says, hey, it's the staff, but I'm not going there for the staff. I know my boy Justin Fields is going to do right by me. Now, right now, we see the situation with Fields. He played more on Saturday than he did a week before that against Missouri. But when he was in the game, it was mostly runs from Fields. He was only one of two passing. I'm not telling you that's the right or wrong decision for the Georgia offense. What I'm telling you is there could be a perception of how Justin Fields sees all of that. Or I should say how Jaden Hazelwood sees all of that because of his relationship with Fields. They were on the same 7-on-7 team together. They were good friends. And that particular clip of Jeff talking to Hazelwood is not the only time he mentioned Fields. Go back to the interview that Jeff and I both did with Hazelwood at Marlowe's. He also mentioned Fields once again there as being one of the reasons why he was very attracted to UGA. Here's more from the most recent Georgia decommit.
I mean, we got the number one quarterback for the class of 2018, of course. Me and him, we got a lot of chemistry. We played on the same 7-on-7 team. Like, if nobody there, he going to throw it to me regardless.
You're going to go up and get it, right?
Go get it.
So, listen, that's once again saying, hey, my attraction to Georgia is the number one quarterback, the presence of Justin Fields. Right now, this is still Jake Fromm's team for the most part. Fields is playing, but this is still Jake Fromm's team. I'm not telling you that Hazelwood does not like Jake Fromm. I couldn't even speak to that one way or another. But I do know that maybe not seeing as much of Fields as he would want to see, maybe that's something that turns Hazelwood off a little bit. A couple other things to mention here. If you're watching us on video, one of the things you're seeing is the commitment video that Hazelwood did with Dog Nation now quite some time ago when he was still a sophomore in high school. And one of the things you see in that Hazelwood video, and we'll talk more about this Before the Hedges, I think, later on this afternoon, the presence of Justin Schaefer, the presence of Natori Johnson, two guys that Hazelwood played with at Cedar Grove High School. Well, for those of you that follow the situation with Georgia closely, you know that neither Johnson nor Schaefer is playing a lot for Georgia right now. In the case of Natori Johnson, he's not really playing at all. Is that the kind of thing that makes Hazelwood a little less attracted to Georgia, seeing that his high school teammates haven't haven't exactly found their footing there at UGA. Oh, that's only speculation, but it's something to think about. You can also think about Demetrius Robertson, a former five-star receiver coming to University of Georgia. Thus far, he's not really been in Georgia's plans. Does that scare Hazelwood away? I think it's a fair question to ask. I mean, ultimately, a couple things to sort of bring up here. You know, the job that Cortez Hankton is facing right now as Georgia's wide receivers coach is a challenging one. He's one of Georgia's most inexperienced coaches, and yet he's got a very difficult recruitment to battle through here over the course of the next couple of months. I believe that Georgia needs Jaden Hazelwood. And I think ultimately the case that Georgia can make for itself is better than the case that Auburn can make, a place that Hazelwood's still going to visit, a place that I think the case for Georgia is better than the one that Miami can make. Despite the fact that Mark Richt can say, hey, I coached A.J. Green, I think the response back to that is, yeah, but what other receivers did you develop? Over the course of a long career at Georgia, how many other guys did you put into the first round of the NFL draft? I think that's a legitimate debate to be had here, and one that Cortez Hankton is going to be asked to do on Georgia's behalf. I mean, overall, we'll end up talking a lot about this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Before the Hedge, as presented by Kroger. Hope you'll join Jeff Sintel and me for that. I'm obviously going to react about this, you know, in good measure in our program here today. And really, the overall bottom line for all of this is that this is a player that I still believe that Georgia very much needs. I hope that Kirby Smart and Cortez Hankton and the rest of the Georgia offensive staff can get him back. For now, though, I guess the only thing you can do is tip your cap to Hazelwood, who's being honest and being open and taking his recruitment a different direction, and hopefully this works out for UGA before it's all said and done. My name is Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and glad to have you with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed, on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, including the world-famous DogNation.com. We're glad you found Dog Nation Daily here today. I want to appreciate Marco's Pizza for making it all possible for you. And by the way, right now, Marco's got a great offer. I want you to take advantage of this. Go to Marco's.com, say hello, Primo, by taking advantage of two medium, two-topping pizzas for $6.99 each. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. Find them online at Marcos.com. Later on, we'll get our attention back to what's happening on the field with Georgia. We'll bring in Mike Griffith to the program to do just that. But as we go around the doghouse here today, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, I kind of want to keep the Georgia offense, Jaden Hazelwood narrative alive here for a moment, because I think if we're going to be very honest and fair here, I think that when you look at what Hazelwood saw from the Georgia offense on Saturday, I think what he may have seen from this Georgia offense over the course of five games, I think it's fair to ask if Hazelwood looks at this offense and sees an offense that's just too conservative, that is not at its best in developing wide receivers to get to the NFL. Now, the very reasonable response from a lot of Georgia fans is that's bunk. The Georgia's offense is doing just fine. The numbers are, you know, very good, and this Georgia offense is doing exactly what it needs to do to win games. That may be the right answer, but how does Jaden Hazelwood, the five-star wide receiver, interpret it? In particular, as we go around the doghouse here, let me take you to Kirby Smart on Saturday during his press conference at the end on the notion of running the football early in the game and having those plays not quite work out the way that some Georgia fans would have wanted them to. You know, Kirby Smart says that commitment to the run, keeping on pounding the running game over and over again, is an important part of Georgia's offensive DNA, which may be the way to win games, but how do five-star receivers view that? Here is Kirby, and listen to this as if you were Jaden Hazelwood, who just decommitted from the program. Here's Kirby on Chopping Wood.
I think all of us, including me, expect to go out and say, oh, we're just going to run it down their throat. We're Georgia and they're Tennessee. It does not happen that way in this conference. It does not happen. It's hard to run the ball, especially early. You must chop wood, continue to hit people, wear them down. You got to have a threat of the pass, and you got to do it over and over, and the totality of it is what happens on that last drive. Now, if I saw right, I saw them subbing defensive linemen in and out, because they're trying to keep their guys fresh. Those offensive linemen aren't subbing. I mean, outside of probably one guy, we're not subbing. So that conditioning and that wearing down had its effect in the fourth quarter. If you don't run the ball in the first quarter, do we still have that effect in the fourth quarter? I don't know. You just got to have body blow after body blow until it wears people down.
So in terms of winning games on the field right now, body blow after body blow is probably the right way for Georgia to go. In terms of building an offense that evolves over time, at a certain point, you have to wonder, is Georgia creating something that's attractive enough for the next generation of great quarterback? Is it utilizing the skills of the quarterbacks that it currently has? Both Fromm and Fields were different players, but both elite prospects. Is it utilizing them as well as it could? And is it getting the most of the wide receivers it currently has? I mean, over the course of time at Alabama, Kirby Smart's mentor Nick Saban, we saw his offense evolve, and I think we still need to see the same kind of evolution happen for the Georgia offense here right now. And I think that Georgia without Jaden Hazelwood is going to have a little bit harder time of getting that done. Around the Doghouse here on Wednesdays is brought to you by friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know what they do. They provide foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space encapsulation. They offer a lifetime of support, so you can find them online or by calling them at 678-ESOG now. The number once again, 678-ESOG now. You can have one of their qualified professional technicians come out to your home and take care of your crack foundation, your basement, wet basement, damp crawl space. It's all there for you. They're the only foundation repair company with a full-time engineer on staff. Therefore, they're the only ones we would trust around here at Dog Nation Daily, Engineered Solutions of Georgia. All right, it's great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. Let's talk some more about the Georgia offense right now and a lot of other subjects as we welcome in our buddy Mike Griffith.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Let me say hello to Mike Griffith here. Does a great job covering the Georgia Bulldogs for DogNation.com. And obviously, Mike, we talked a lot before you joined us about the five-star wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood, who decommitted from the program. Recruiting is not really your beat, so I don't want to necessarily get your thoughts on Hazelwood as much, but I do want to get your thoughts on one of the subjects that comes up in relationship to a five-star wide receiver choosing to no longer be a part of the program, at least for right now. And that's the current nature of this Georgia offense. You know, Kirby Smart talked on Saturday, and you wrote a piece at DogNation.com this week using some of these quotes about keeping on chopping wood, keeping on body blowing with the running game, sticking with that and staying consistent with that as a way of wearing down opponents in the fourth quarter. Mike, I'll be the first to tell you that may be the perfect strategy for Georgia to win some of the games against some of the opponents that it's playing right now. But at a certain point, there's also, I think, a hope and belief among fans that the Georgia offense will evolve into more than just that, because you see teams like Alabama and, to a certain extent, Clemson doing some of that kind of evolution. So with that in mind, do you think the Georgia offense is too conservative right now?
No, I mean, I think Kirby's got a plan. It's a 15-game season. You know, I think he wants to keep everybody healthy. I think he wants everyone to develop. He's got to give guys certain opportunities. My biggest concern right now is, you know, who are the playmakers? I mean, you know, Jeremy Pruitt has provided a blueprint for the rest of the SEC to contain the Georgia offense. I mean, the longest play of the game for Georgia was Isaac Nauta's 31-yard fumble. Advancement. Other than that, there was a 23-yard pass to J.J. Holloman, and nothing more than 16 yards against Tennessee, against a depleted Tennessee football team. That gave up, 47 points to Florida. So the explosive nature of Georgia's offense right now is missing, and I think it comes down to players. I think, you know, Georgia's got to identify its playmakers, and Jake's got to put the ball downfield and give guys a chance to make plays, and, you know, Georgia's got to find that explosive element that I think they're missing. I think they missed Javon Wims, Nick Chubb, and Sony Michel. There's a reason those guys are in the NFL.
So I agree with you on that. The explosive element is something this team's still searching for. And yet, I guess from a tactical standpoint, is there a style of play calling that would be better at unearthing some of that explosive talent? Whether it be more, you know, a little less safe throws, something that has a chance to be a little bit more dynamic, or, I don't know, some version of the running game that allows more of that talent to shine. Is there something about the way the game is being called by Jim Chaney right now that's keeping those potential explosive plays at bay?
Well, I mean, let's get it right, though. Let's be fair. I mean, Kirby Smart is, you know, ultimately the head coach is going to tell Jim Chaney how many times he can throw the ball. And I mean, I've seen Jim Chaney offense. They get 500 yards. You turn Jim loose, and he can call a pass, you know, every play. But, you know, the head ball coach, Kirby Smart, is the one. And you're hearing him. He's telling you what he wants. He wants them to pound the ball. He wants them to execute. He wants it to take effect. I mean, this is Kirby talking, what Kirby Smart wants. And Jim Chaney is going to do what the head ball coach tells him. If he tells him he wants him to run the ball 60% of the time, then that's what Jim's going to do. If he opens it up, I'm not sure right now, B.A., that we really know what the identity of this football team is. I mean, Andrew Thomas, I asked him, you know, what's the difference between Georgia now and Georgia years ago? He said, we're still finding our offensive identity. And, you know, this two quarterback thing is going to become the identity for a little while at least. We're going to see Georgia play two quarterbacks. They each bring different things to the table that makes it harder for defenses to prepare. And we're going to see how Georgia operates as a two quarterback team for a little while, I believe.
Yeah, let me shift gears and talk about that subject here for a moment. I mean, I don't know if you want to put yourself in the position of how you would handle it, but what do you think the right balance for Fromm and Fields is right now? I've certainly got my opinions on that. I mean, what do you make of – I think you're exactly right. We're going to see both Fromm and Fields playing on Saturday against Vanderbilt. My assumption is we'll still see them both on the road in a very different environment at LSU the week after that. I mean, how would you handle this if it was your decision to make?
Well, I'll go back to, you know, Michigan State days. I remember Michigan State had a quarterback battle going into their Rose Bowl season between a returning starting quarterback and an upcoming guy named Connor Cook, who was a sophomore. The other guy was a senior named Andrew Maxwell and had started the entire season before. And basically, D'Antonio said it was like a taste test between Coke and Pepsi. You sip one, you sip the other. You sip one, you sip the other until you decide which one you like better. And I think that's what we're going to see Georgia football do until one style. And again, here's the way I look at it, B.A., to prevent the fans from turning this into a – it's not – first of all, it's not a controversy. Get it right, okay? There is no controversy. Kirby Smart's going to make a decision, and that's the way it's going to be. Doesn't matter what the fans say. Doesn't matter what me or B.A. says. Doesn't matter what's written or what ESPN thinks. Kirby Smart will make a decision, and that is what Georgia's going to do. That's the end of how that is going to play out. No controversy. Now, as far as comparing Jake Fromm, you know, to Justin Fields, it's not who's better, okay? It's not who's better. It's which Georgia offense is better. Is it the offense with Fromm, the guy that can go up there, make the pre-snap reads, change a lot of plays at the line of scrimmage, has 17-2 record, 15-2 record, been through the battles, shown the poise, tested, battle-tested, can distribute the ball like a point guard, or is it Justin Fields, the exciting guy that can put the team on his shoulder, he can beat you with his legs as well as arm, maybe not change plays as much at the line of scrimmage, but at the same time limits what the defense can do against you. They don't want to pressure Justin Fields. He puts the offensive in the Georgia offense, but he's not as proven as Fromm. So it's two completely, I think, different types of quarterbacks that run different. Georgia's offense looks different with each one in there. So it's not who's better, it's just which offense works better. And that's why Kirby, you know, was talking about changing quarterbacks depending on the play calls.
So let me push back on that a little bit, because I think my description of this may be slightly different than yours is. I think if you look at Fromm in comparison to Fields, I don't think that Fields' presence in the game, Mike, and I want your opinion in response to this, but I don't think that Fields' presence in the game is necessarily a repudiation of Fromm. If you look at his numbers on Saturday, Fromm I'm talking about here, on a decent number of throws, he still completed 72% of his passes for like 8.5 yards per attempt. Now, yards per attempt is lower on Saturday than it has been for his career, but it's still higher than the average quarterback, including Jacob Eason, if you want to go back to 2016. Significantly higher on both of those fronts than some Georgia quarterbacks of the past year. So Fromm is certainly not playing poorly in terms of being worth being demoted. I think the issue here is, and I've said this a few times, I'm going to keep saying this, right now Justin Fields is Georgia's best running back. He's certainly Georgia's best running threat. And if you look at Georgia, especially on first down, there are just some elements in which Georgia is not dominating at the point of attack, not opening holes, not getting those easy yards to set up second and medium, third and short, the way the program kind of wants to do under Kirby Smart. And ultimately, I believe that's the reason why Fields is playing. It's not because Fromm's not getting the job done. Statistically speaking, he kind of is. It's the Georgia offense overall is not getting the job done because it's Fields right now who provides the most dynamic running threat. And when Fields is not in there, that running threat, at least to the degree that Fields provides, it's missing.
Yeah, you know, you could be the best point guard in the world, but if your guys aren't hitting the open shot, you're not going to have the assist total. And at some point, you wonder if you maybe want more of a shooter playing point guard to generate some offense. That's the analogy that I would use.
Sure.
Here's the telltale statistic with Jake Fromm, B.A. Georgia's been in 3rd and 9 or longer on 14 occasions this year, okay? They have faced a 3rd and 9 situation, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 16, 14 times, 3rd and 9 or longer. Jake Fromm has converted once. He's been sacked 4 times in those situations. He's thrown two interceptions in those situations. This is clearly an issue with the downfield pass game. Georgia's pass game, and the numbers you're talking about, Jake Fromm, they're swing passes, they're short passes, they're dump it to the back, they're screen passes, get it out to McColl in the flats. Okay, against Tennessee, B.A., the longest pass completion was 23 yards. There weren't any, that was the only one that was more than 16 yards in the whole game against Tennessee. McColl Hardman, four catches, 40 yards. Didn't score. Under wraps.
You know,
so the problem is they're not going over the top, and that's where, let's just open up another can of worms, because that's what this is, the can of worms conversation. That's where you need Demetrius Robertson to stretch the field. I don't know if he blocks as well as the other receivers, but I know that he's got a lot of speed, and he had over 700 yards catching the ball as a freshman at Cal, and he was a freshman All-American. I know that.
Sure. And quick follow-up on this. We could obviously talk about this all day long. But while I agree with you that Georgia's not taking enough deep shots down the field, I kind of agree with you on that. Overall, I won't agree that Fromm right now is, to paraphrase what you described, as sort of a dink-and-dunk passer. Because the truth is, last year he was second in the SEC in yards per attempt at like 9.5. He's over nine. He's over 9 for the season thus far this year. I mean, this is a guy, not yards per completion, by the way, but yards per attempt. That means every time that Fromm drops back to pass, Georgia's averaging 9.5 yards out of that, or around 9 yards on that on the season. Those are not necessarily dink and dunk numbers. Now, I could have, I could certainly stand to see a few deeper throws, especially deeper throws over the middle. I could stand to see some of that from Fromm, but the numbers don't necessarily support him being just a check down Charlie style quarterback.
Well, I mean, if you take, you know, Middle Tennessee and Austin Peay out of it, I mean, like I said, the Tennessee game, BA, I mean, that's, you know, and guess what? Everybody's going to watch that film. I mean, Jake Fromm was 16-22 for 185 yards, but he didn't complete a pass longer than 23 yards, and he was sacked 3 times. That's a bad combination. When you're getting hit and sacked, and the other team's bringing pressure, but you're not hitting the big play, I mean, usually when you bring a pressure, you got to give up a little bit on the back end. I mean, Kirby talked about that. I mean, you know, Tennessee had 2 plays over 30 yards. I mean, B.A., if I would have told you, if I would have told anybody that Jarrett Garantano would have a better quarterback rating against the Georgia defense than Jake Fromm would have against the Tennessee defense, you'd have had me committed. I would have never believed that. If you would tell me that Jarrett Garantano would have 2 passes over 30 yards and Jake Fromm wouldn't have any against that Tennessee defense, I would not ever believe that. No chance. If you told me it was Fromm that was going to be sacked 3 times, I would have never believed it. I'm telling you, that's the red flag. It, you know, the book's out. I mean, you can press up on Georgia. Javon Wims is gone. Nick Chubb and Sony Michel aren't coming out that tunnel. And to your point, Fields is the most explosive runner. The groin injury has limited DeAndre Swift. There's no doubt about it. He's not as explosive as he was a year ago. Elijah Holyfield, he runs hard. He gives you everything you want. Everything you want, but everything he's got, but he can't catch the ball effectively enough. That's why they leave him in on protection. Kirby Smart says that. You know, and Elijah's got a nice run this year, but he's not the explosive runner that they need. So I'm kind of with you. I'm not putting this on Jake Fromm. I'm saying the supporting cast isn't as good to Jake Fromm this year as it was last year. Now, Terry Godwin just got back. He was the number 2 receiver last year. You've pretty much been operating without your top 2 receivers from a year ago. So that's one thing to consider. And you're operating with your top 2 running backs from a year ago. And the reality of it is these receivers and these running backs have not been as explosive as the ones that were on the field playing for Jake Fromm last year.
Speaking of Godwin, I want to talk about Godwin here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me remind folks that Mike was good enough to be with us at our last Marlowe's event. And coming up next week, we're back at Marlowe's Tavern again. But for the very first time ever, our Dog Nation big game preview invades the Marlowe's at Northlake. And this is an awesome Marlowe's. It's a rooftop Marlowe's. That means you get a beautiful view while you sit out there and talk a little Georgia football with us. It's 6 to 8 p.m. next Tuesday. That's October the 9th at the Marlowe's at Northlake. Let me give you the address here. 4156 La Vista Road in Tucker. 4156 La Vista Road in Tucker for our Marlowe's big game preview next Tuesday, October 9th, from 6 to 8 p.m. Jeff Sintel, I'm being told, is making a triumphant return. Our first Marlowe's event with Jeff in quite some time. We'll do that with Jeff coming up next week, starting at 6 p.m. there at the Marlowe's North Lake. So it's going to be really cool to have him there. Really cool to see you there as well for our Marlowe's big game preview as we head towards Dog Nation Invasion with the friends from Marlowe's that following week. So we'll preview the LSU game and a whole lot more at Marlowe's next week. All right, Mike, I know our time is limited, so let me try to bounce through a couple of subjects before we kind of get done with our conversation here. You mentioned Terry Godwin. I know that Godwin, I guess, spoke to reporters here this week. What do you make of the fact that, as of yet, he really hasn't been that big a part of the offense here?
Yeah, and really not 100% yet. Getting there, you know, Kirby mentioned it yesterday, the GPS numbers are getting a little bit better, but he's not all the way back yet. I think that hurts, you know, and I think that's part of what's gone on here. So, but he did start against Tennessee. It was his first start this year, so obviously, you know, we may see Terry evolve into a little bit more of a contributor. Again, we talked about Demetrius Robertson. He's still on the shelf. He's still, you know, back. He came back to Georgia to play. I know Kirby said he's a major contributor because of all the things he's doing in practice, but at some point you got to wonder if that'll translate on the field. And Holloman's done a pretty nice job. He continues to evolve a little bit. You know, we've seen him become a bit of a playmaker. Tyler Simmons should be back. He's been wearing a harness. Not really sure where he's at health-wise. But Riley Ridley's the guy, BA, that I really thought was going to step into that dominant role. And I think he's made some plays, but it just doesn't seem like Jake has the same chemistry with him yet that he had with Javon Williams. And to me, that's the whole key to the offense is getting that downfield pass game going. And, Kirby's got to balance two quarterbacks and run the quarterback that's going to move the ball the best. That's ultimately the name of the game is who's putting the ball in the end zone.
Let me finish up with a more serious subject here for a couple of seconds, Mike. Pretty serious allegations against Georgia baseball player Adam Sasser, allegedly using some really heinous language in the Georgia student section on Saturday. I know that Kirby Smart spoke about this last night. What do you make of all this, and what kind of, I guess, reaction do you expect to get from the university on this, and where is this story going to go next?
Well, I mean, you know, university policy. I mean, you know, they've got very, you know, stringent, strict, clear policies in effect. I mean, you know, those sort of things aren't going to be tolerated. You know, I mean, I don't know the exact circumstances. I don't think there's ever any acceptable situation for those type of words to be used. And it's, you know, it's in the hands of Georgia right now. And, you know, they're disciplinary, and I'm sure their student judiciary committee could get involved. But, you know, it's one of those unfortunate things. You know, you wish this never happened in our society, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, sometimes people say stupid things and there's policies against that. And, you know, no place for that in our country.
Yeah, I think that's well said, Mike. Really appreciate your time. And thanks for a spirited debate and conversation on everything else going on with the Georgia offense here, made the more relevant by Hazelwood's decommit from the program late last night. We appreciate you being with us. We'll look forward to reading more from you at dognation.com coming up in the days ahead. And we'll have you back here on the program very soon as well.
Look forward to it, BA. Thank you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, really good stuff there from Mike Griffith. Appreciate his time and provocative opinions, as always, coming from him. And we'll obviously have more thoughts on this before the Hedges today, 3 p.m. This afternoon. Jeff Sintel, expert analysis of the Hazelwood decommitment. My thoughts and opinions, too. We'll kind of keep that going. As we transition here, though, to our SEC Through, I will remind you that coming up in a couple of minutes, we have some potentially good UGA recruiting news that we'll get to, which is always important on a day like this, on the heels of some not-so-great news when it comes to Hazelwood. Before that, let me remind you here that you guys hear me talk a lot about MyBookie, and you know that every week, tomorrow, once again, I'll renew this. We do our MyBookie Best Bets, where I get my college football picks, and obviously, I like to try to pick winners. Sometimes I do a little better than that, more so than others. I pick each game, and that's not the only way, though, that you can get involved at MyBookie. You can do, like, the parlay stuff, which is a little bit like taking a little bit of money and turning it into a lot of money. You know, you can pick three winners together, and, you know, just as an example, a $100 bet could turn into like a $600 winnings there when you win one of those three-team parlays, something like that. You've also got the Conor McGregor fight coming up this Saturday. A McGregor back in the octagon for the first time in a while. That's a chance to bet he may win the fight. He may get knocked out. You can all kinds of, you know, props, you know, bets to be made when it comes to stuff like that. So it's not just the college football at MyBookie. It's all the action you want to get. And that's why you want to get involved right now. I want you to find MyBookie online, MyBookie. Find MyBookie online and take advantage of the special offer. Right now, MyBookie will give you a, you know, they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar when you use the promo code DOGNATION. It's all one word. Spell the way it's supposed to be, DAWG. Find them online at MyBookie. Use the promo code DOGNATION, and your first deposit can be matched dollar for dollar. But I've been told here that this offer is going to come to an end soon. So if you're on the sidelines kind of waiting to get involved, you don't want to wait much longer. You want to take advantage of this while you can get that dollar for dollar match. So find MyBookie online, MyBookie. Use the promo code DOGNATION, and then after that, you play, you win, you get paid. It is as simple as that with MyBookie, the folks known for the fast, no-hassle payout. But make sure you use the promo code DOGNATION. All right, I want to talk for a moment about something that I read yesterday at ESPN.com. And I have been talking a lot lately about what I believe is a fairly cozy relationship between ESPN and Alabama. I think this story from ESPN is another example of that. Now, I'm going to just sort of put this out there and put my opinion out there, and you can tell me if I'm making too much of this, but this is certainly a very generous explanation of what went down with Jalen Hurts in Alabama and Hurts' decision not to transfer from the program. The writer here is Alex Scarborough, who I like a lot. I got no problem with Scarborough necessarily, but I do have a little bit of a problem with the ESPN-Alabama relationship right now. Here's what Scarborough writes about Hurts' decision to stick at Alabama. Scarborough says, by sticking it out at Alabama, he can continue to better himself even though he's not the starter. He's still getting reps. Before the season ends, he'll likely accumulate in the neighborhood of 300 snaps. It's not starter numbers, of course, but it isn't insignificant either. Alex Scarborough from ESPN goes on to say, more important, though, is for the first time in his career, he's able to work every day with a dedicated quarterbacks coach in Dan Enos, who is well-respected in college and the pros. The time in practice and the film room with Enos, that one-on-one attention he can provide all the quarterbacks, has real value even if it doesn't show up in a stat sheet. If Hurts sat down, if he had chosen a redshirt, his development might have suffered. He would have been relegated to the scout team in order to prepare Mac Jones for the backup role, according to sources, the ESPN story says. And to finish things up, by doing so, by not taking another meaningful snap all year, he could have accumulated rust that may have hindered his transition to a potential starting role elsewhere. Once again, that is Alex Scarborough from ESPN. And I guess my question I would ask is, who are these sources? Who are these sources that are telling Alex Scarborough, oh, Dan Enos is such a good quarterback coach that just by Hurts working with him, he's going to be better in the long run, even if he's not the starter. And if he'd been the third string quarterback, he wouldn't be getting all of that work. This is a very, very generous explanation of what's happened here with Hurts in Alabama. I told you the other day that Nick Saban's on ESPN right now more than Stephen A. Smith is. I mean, I really think I'm going to start calling him Stephen A. Saban, because Saban's on TV on ESPN all the time, and seemingly every story written by ESPN about Alabama offers the most favorable take whatsoever. Here's what I'd love for this story to include. What does Avarian Hurts think about the latest decision here? Does he agree with the sources, I'm going to assume, inside the Alabama program, that think things are just great at Alabama and that Jalen Hurts being the backup quarterback was absolutely the right thing to do? Does Jalen Hurts himself think that? When are we going to hear from him on this again? Because really, I guess the last time he spoke to the media, he was talking about how nobody from Alabama gave him any attention whatsoever. All of a sudden, now that he's decided to stay and he's the backup quarterback, he's just going to be getting loads and loads and loads of attention. How does that work together with what Hurts has said here in the past? I mean, what this ESPN deal comes across as a recruiting commercial for Alabama, going there, contributing to depth, and being okay being a backup, masquerading as an ESPN news article. I got a real problem with that. Maybe I'm wrong, though. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. One final story for our SEC through. Thought our buddy Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio had an interesting tweet highlighting an ESPN graphic of the very rarefied air that Kentucky running back Benny Snell finds himself in right now. Take a look at these numbers here for Snell entering the season. Most rushing touchdowns prior to a senior season in SEC history. Snell coming in at 40. Only all-time greats like Darren McFadden, Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, Tim Tebow, Herschel Walker. Those are the only names higher than Snell on that list coming into his senior season here, which really speaks to the way that I don't think there's any doubt about it whatsoever that Snell has been the breakout star in the SEC this year. Maybe not the best player in this league, but in terms of a guy whose fame has risen quickly once the season began, no one can match what Snell's been able to do in that regard. And obviously, he looms for a Georgia here very soon. We'll make that your SEC through. And coming up in a moment, I told you, I've got some potential good news for UGA recruiting I want to give to you. Before we get to that, let me give you some good news about Georgia away from athletics. Let me give you some good news about the Georgia Bulldogs when it comes to the classroom here as well and the way in which Georgia as a university continues to grow and improve. You know, the Commit to Georgia campaign is going to raise more than $1.2 billion by 2020. These funds, made possible by the generous support of alumni donors, can really change the lives of thousands of students and inspire tomorrow's learners through critical funding. Through the University of Georgia Commitment Scholarship Program alone, the University of Georgia has already created 292 new endowed need-based scholarships in less than 2 years, which is really kind of an amazing feat if you think about it. And with increased scholarship support for UGA students, they're also going to be able to create new opportunities for students to succeed beyond the classroom and face challenges that the world provides right now. So at the University of Georgia, we know that it only takes one person to change the world, and we want to encourage more students to discover how they can make an impact, whether it be the next innovative business or anything else. It could be a Georgia Bulldog who's doing that. So if you want to help with that, continue UGA's mission here, you can learn more about it at the Commit to Georgia campaign by going to give.uga.edu. That website, once again, is give.uga.edu, and you can find out how you can get involved. So great stuff going on there with the UGA Alumni Association. I'm proud to be able to tell you about that here on Dog Nation Daily. I'm also really fascinated by the upcoming announcement by four-star safety Lewis Cine, a guy we've talked about a lot, both on Before the Hedges and here on Dog Nation Daily, who let us know on video yesterday that he's got a commitment announcement coming up on October 10th. Here's how Cine made the announcement.
Very tempting, man. You know, I'm very close to Ryan Davis, and then I just got close to the running back.
John Emery.
Also the wide receiver there. Also,
Makai.
Yeah. I got close to them three boys. To be honest with you, it was very tempting. I'm not going to lie to you.
What held you off?
You'll get caught in the moment. A lot of guys get caught in the moment, you know, just make that quick decision. But, you know, I'm a thinker.
So let me be very clear about something. If you're watching the video, you saw the commitment video announcement from Lewis Cine that he's coming up on October 10th making that announcement. The audio you hear there is from a recent interview that Lewis Cine did with Jeff Sintel, where he says because of the relationships he has with guys like Makai Tong and Ryan Davis and others that he was very tempted at one point in time to commit to the University of Georgia. Now, when you hear that, plus some of the other things that Cine has said recently, really enjoying his official visit to UGA, for instance, here, when you hear a lot of that kind of stuff, it certainly makes you feel optimistic about October the 10th and the decision that Cine's ultimately going to make here. And I have really enjoyed watching the way that Cine's stature as a recruit has grown in recent weeks and months. I don't know that I hear about really any potential recruiting target more favorable reviews of his huddle film and some of the online video highlights that are out there for Cine than what you've heard for him. Like, a lot of Georgia players think of him as, I don't want to put him in, you know, too rich a category here, but a lot of Georgia fans think of Cine as another Richard LeCount-style player in terms of one of those safeties. The same way we see LeCount all over the place, really flying towards the ball on Saturdays right now, a lot of Georgia fans think Cine could be one of those guys in the future. He may not be a guy that everybody knew a lot about a long time ago, but certainly have caught up on really quickly here. His relationship with Georgia seems really strong, and on October the 10th, which is going to be here before you know it, Georgia fans are hoping to get some good news on the four-star safety. All right, we will wrap up the way we always do. We're always looking for Gatorator countdowns, and we believe that coming up, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville 24 days from right now. Going to beat Florida again in Jacksonville, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. We'll do our Gatorator countdown right here for you every single day on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. Cannot wait to see Georgia beat up on Florida once again. Something else I'm really excited about is coming up before you get to the cocktail party. It's not this weekend, but next weekend, our huge Dog Nation invasion to Baton Rouge in Louisiana and New Orleans. It's all going down, and we want you to be a part of this with us. If you're going to be there in New Orleans on Friday, October 12th, at 3 p.m. Central Time, which is 4 Eastern Time. We're going to be at Manning's. It's a really cool sports bar in New Orleans right near the Harris Hotel and Casino. 519 Fulton Street starting at 3 p.m. Central. And then on Saturday, the big tailgate, our Dog Nation Invasion tailgate, is going to be at Walk-On's, 3838 Burbank Drive in Baton Rouge. It's all brought to you by R.S. Andrews, Marlowe's, Kroger, and Skyland Brookhaven. We can't wait to see you there, and see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily as well.